What's up, everybody? You're listening to the What's On Your Mind podcast. I'm your host, Dre Emerson, and welcome back to another installment. As always, make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Players Circle. That is PlayersCircle. That is Players with a Z, Circle. That is on both Instagram and Twitter. Give us a follow, like, and subscribe. You can also find the What's On Your Mind podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts at. We're everywhere. Big news in the day. Lonzo Ball is out with a torn meniscus, 6 to 8 weeks. Big blow for my Bulls. It's real tough to hear. For a team that's already done lost Zach LaVine. So, DeMar DeRozan, we got Alex Caruso back. Last night he played big, but, you know, just losing Lonzo is just it's tough. It's tough with the NBA as a whole because it's a lot of players that's out right now. It's a lot of great players. We're still missing. We haven't seen Jamal Murray. The big one, the biggest, Zion. I didn't mean to say the biggest like that, but, you know. Anthony Davis is still out. It's a lot of stars out right now. A lot of stars. Kawhi Leonard, Paul George is not even playing. He might be out even longer. It's just a tough blow. But nonetheless, I mean, it was a huge night in the NBA for some other superstars. Joel Embiid had the 50 burger. You know, Luka did his thing. Trae Young. So, you know, still got some bunch of young stars stepping up and taking a role for some of these aging players. But it's a tough blow for my Bulls. But on today's show, we're going to be talking reboot culture. A very interesting topic. I'm going to get into why I want to touch on that subject. I have friend of the show, Terry House, will be joining us later to be talking NBA All-Stars, who we got to pick. We're doing the full 12-man roster for both teams, the East and the West. And then to close out the show, I'm doing picking my picks for the NFL playoff divisional round with some mailbag questions at the end. So, nice jam-packed show filled with content today. So, yeah, let's get right into it. So, reboot culture. So, the reason I want to touch on this subject is, so recently I went to go see Scream, the new Scream, Scream 5, or, you know, however you want to say it, it's just Scream, but it is basically the reboot of the original Scream, and it was a good movie. It was a good movie. I really enjoyed it. The thing about it, though, it was funny. It was like satire. It was like, and this is, obviously, this is going to be filled with spoilers, so if you haven't seen Scream yet and that's a movie that you want to go see, you might want to skip this part of the podcast and get straight into the NBA All-Stars. But yeah, spoiler warning. So the Scream was just basically a classic tale of basically the original. And basically what happened in the movie, what derived for a new Ghostface killer, was that they kept making reboots of the movie in the Scream franchise called Stab, which is basically where the Ghostface killer came from. The Stab series in the movie, they kept making reboots after reboots after reboots until finally the last reboot just completely sucked and it just drove fans over the edge because the Stab story is a classic tale. It's a classic tale to them. And just like with the in the Scream movie, the characters, they got so mad about the Stab that they wanted to reenact the original Scream with a few little twists to sort of kind of make their own reboot. And at the same time they was doing all this, they was making fun of, like, reboot culture because, you know, fans can understand, I ain't gonna say understand, like, killing, going out and killing people, but you understand, like, how when some of your favorite series, your favorite franchises, your favorite shows, whatever, and a director goes out and say, hey, or a producer say, hey, let me go, I think I could take this and make some money off this, or, you know, make this to a hit, you know, remake this and do like a reboot, and it sucks. And you just completely hate it. Like, why did you do this? Why are you, like, throwing this scar on something I genuinely love? It's horrible. And, you know, so you understand the plight of the killer, but at the same time, they're making fun of reboot culture. And it kind of reminded me of another movie that did the same thing, the latest Matrix that just came out, with basically, you know, the director she didn't want to do another Matrix movie, but they was going to force her to do it, or they was going to do it without her anyway, and they was probably going to F it up. So she goes out and do it, but it's basically a mockery of the original series. So, it's, you know, it's just that vibe going on. I'm seeing it's like a trend going on right now. It's very interesting to see because, you know, reboots are a fickle thing. They're a fickle thing. So what's the difference between a remake and a reboot? So I was in this Reddit thread and they was going back and forth talking about, you know, the differences and arguing about, oh, is this movie a remake or a reboot? I'm going to lay the ground rules out for you right now. This is the Driz rules. A remake is a newer version of a story, movie, whatever. A reboot is a new telling of the old story, like you're adding on. So, like, examples of both, remakes. All, like, the new Spider-Mans, I mean, up until now, I mean, to the multiverse, I don't know how you want to, you know, that's all complicated. But all the Spider-Mans, those were remakes. Or all the different, you know, the different Batman movies, remakes. Reboots are bringing back a franchise or a movie and then, you know, adding on, like, Star Wars, the new Star Wars movie, those are reboots. You're adding on to the old story. New tellings of an old story. One of the greatest reboots of all time, Toy Story 3. Ugh. That's a reboot. Is adding on to the original story. So that is the Driz rules for the remake versus reboot discussions. It's laid out. Boom. So what makes a good remake reboot? To me, if you could bring in a new audience, these are keys. You have to bring in a new audience, right? Because basically all these remakes and reboots are like from the old heads back in the days. Like Cobra Kai. Cobra Kai is like a reboot of the old Karate Kid. You're taking the older generation that probably loved the older Karate Kid series and the movies. You reboot it. You add in more stuff and you make it, you know, more modern and stuff for the younger kids. And it gives a way for the older generation and the newer generation to connect. And you also want to do that pretty good in the movie as well, because that makes for a good reboot, in my opinion, when you can mix that together. You're bringing in new audiences and mixing it with the old. It's a good mix. So that is key for me. Also, it has to, you know, move the story along. So just in this case, I guess, for just reboot specifically, it has to be able to take me deeper into a story or, like, understand why this has happened that, you know, maybe wasn't thoroughly explained in like the original ones, but now it's like, boom, it's kind of getting explained now and into a new version. Like, so a good reboot that I just seen, amazing reboot, was the Ghostbusters, not the one with the woman. No disrespect to the woman. They did the thing, but it just wasn't it. But the latest Ghostbuster that just came out last year, it was a great reboot because what it did was it added on to an older story. So basically one of the original Ghostbusters, he had this premonition or something like this great big thing was going to happen that was going to destroy the world with all, you know, the ghosts, blah, 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 blah. And his granddaughter in the newer version in the reboot was like, I guess, a big fan of them. And she was trying to understand, like, everyone's trying to understand why he went crazy. It was never explained. But now it's explained now. And it brought together an older generation that really loved the Ghostbusters and then brought in a newer generation, you know, kind of like me, but, you know, not necessarily my age, but, you know, younger people into liking, oh, so now you want to go check out the old Ghostbusters, and which I did. And I really enjoyed it because I never really saw, I saw bits and pieces of the old Ghostbusters, you know, when I was little, but never, you know, fully through. But now because I've seen the new Ghostbusters, so I was like, oh, let me go back and watch the old ones, which I did, and it was pretty cool. So I just think that movie specifically did a really good job of just showing what makes a good reboot, because now you're adding on to a story, you can continue on the story into a new franchise, because now you got this new group of kids that's, you know, the Ghostbusters that handled the problem, and they can continue going on with the story, however, for another one or two or three movies, whatever the case. Lastly, the most important thing, it has to become its own big thing. Like, it has to become its own big franchise, its own, you know, universe, whatever it's going to be, it has to become its own big thing. If it's not better, or it cannot, like, I mean, you don't, obviously, everything's not going to be better than the original. But if it doesn't stand out from the original, then, you know, in my opinion, it fails as a reboot. So those are the keys of what I think makes a good reboot versus, you know, I guess not a good one. So now I guess it's time to just give some of my best and worst reboots or remakes. So where should I start? I'm going to start with the worst ones. Worst reboots, remakes, top of the list, off the top of my head, I'm going to go Mulan. There's no reason to bring back that piece of crap live action film that Disney did. It wasn't good. And one of the main reasons why it wasn't good, because you didn't have Mushu. Like, how are you just going to bring back one of the more popular characters from the series? Like, you just don't bring him back. Like, that just completely messed it up right then and there. So I'm automatically, you know, X'd out. I didn't like it. Story was boring. I fell asleep during it. It was stupid. Top of the list. Second one. Ooh, this is going to hurt a lot of people. Because, and this is going to, it hurts me to say it. Because I actually like this. I like this franchise. Jurassic World. Jurassic World ain't it, people. I'm sorry to all the diehard Jurassic Park, you know, people that love that, you know, love that series, love that franchise, but Jurassic World is just not it. It's literally just the same thing, the same story, just futuristic now. They make the same stupid mistakes. They bring back these dinosaurs that, hey, you bring back some old dinosaur DNA. What did dinosaurs do? They were carnivores and they ate other dinosaurs and they killed things, you know, so why wouldn't they continue to do that? When you let one loose or run amok. Same stupid problems. I mean, Jurassic World Dominion, it has slight bit glitter of hope because the dinosaurs are legit loose into the world and now they have to cooperate with the humans now. And it's like, all right, how they're going to do that? I'm pretty sure dinosaurs probably should have just killed damn near half the civilization by then. I'm just saying. Jurassic World, ain't it? The Mummy. The Mummy. Tom Cruise, garbage. No reason to bring that back. Absolutely no reason. Tom Cruise is just, he's an up and down actor. And it's just, he just didn't work for the movie. Like, just wasn't it, my boy. Tomb Raider, not it. It's multiple reasons why I can say, but main reason why, she's just not Angelina Jolie. Angelina Jolie carried that role, Lara Croft. And old new girl, she just fell completely flat. Completely flat. Blade Runner. Guys, when I tell you, I'm a big movie person, obviously. I go to the movies a lot. And I like to, you know, title myself as a movie enjoyer. No, I love the movie experience, you know, basically. If you can get what I'm saying. Like, I love going to opening nights and stuff like that. So when I tell you, I went to go see Blade Runner, the new Blade Runner. I never fell asleep in a movie before. I fell asleep during Blade Runner. Hot trash. Like, I'm talking about the most slowest, boringest movie. It was just not it, guys. Just not it. So those are just some of the lists, my list of worst. Some go spread a little positivity. Some of the best reboots and remakes. Top of the list, Spider-Man, Tom Holland. Fabulous movie. And just, it made me, after obviously seeing the new Spider-Man, No Way Home, it made me appreciate the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man some more too. So, you know, heck of a remakes, reboot. Ghostbusters, obviously, I said that. Planet of the Apes. Now, Planet of the Apes was a good reboot. I really enjoyed that one. I love how they just carried it on. Well, I guess it was what, a remake. I guess that one would be considered a remake. Anyway, that was a great one. Christopher Nolan Batman's spectacular. Amazing. Amazing movies. Dark Knight, don't get me started. One of the best movies of all time. Wow. R.I.P. Heath Ledger. Toy Story 3, I said that one. Yes. I know some of the old heads gonna hate this one, but you know, I'm a fan of the new Star Wars. I gotta say I'm a fan. Now this one. This one I should have talked about some more as one of the worst ones. So, The Fresh Prince, what's up with that? That one, and this is just a prime example of why sometimes things are just better left to just be left alone. He's Will Smith is behind it, but he's turning it into like some drama where it's just like deep and it's like real, it's like dark almost in a way. But this is an iconic character. Like, this is the Fresh Prince, and when we think of Fresh Prince, we think of Will Smith, the charismatic. Like, not saying this new guy can't be charismatic, but it's just like, this is Will Smith. You can't really look past Will Smith when you think of Fresh Prince. You can't really look past Uncle Phil, Vivian, Tiffany, Carlton. Like, you can't look past these iconic characters. And then for them to like reboot the series and making it just some weird type of different way, it's just, this is why things don't work. This is why fans hate reboots. This is why you got the toxic people in the reboot culture, and it's just a mess. It's a mess. And it's a dark time in Hollywood right now, because it's a lot of stuff is getting remade and rebooted, and it's just not good. It's just not good material. And I know, I understand Hollywood is running out of ideas, but they gotta do something, man. Cause this is an epidemic. Not all reboots are going to be successful like Scream and be able to incorporate, like, you know, making fun of themselves for doing it and do it in a great way. Like, some of these reboots ain't it. And, you know, this is just something I had to get off my chest, clearly, you know. Yeah, that's, I mean, that's, it's a plague. It's a plague. Right, so we're going to take a quick little break, and then after that, we are going to have friend of the show, Terry House, on to talk NBA All-Stars. Y'all stay tuned. This has been the What's on Your Mind podcast. All right, so sad news. Unfortunately, guys, I don't have Terry on today. He's a very busy man doing his coaching business, so hopefully I can get him on the show pretty soon to talk some more NBA, get as my NBA insider, I like to think. All right, so we're just going to kick on with the conversation, though. We're talking NBA All-Stars. First off, before we get into that, I want to get into some little business with the Los Angeles Lakers. Recently, if you was watching the TNT broadcast of, it was one game going on, and Charles Barkley was on. He was talking about the Lakers situation with Russell Westbrook being used as a scapegoat. Also, head coach Frankie V. And unfortunately, it is just a sad situation because Frankie V, you know, is a great defensive coach. When the Lakers won the championship, they had one of the best defenses in the league. Obviously, you can attribute that to who? Frankie V. Russell Westbrook, obviously, a lot of people knew that situation wasn't going to work out well with the type of player LeBron is, and then the type of player Russell Westbrook is, and then the type of team they surrounded everybody with. So, unfortunately, that just wasn't ideal. It wasn't an ideal situation. It was good for him to be home, but it just wasn't an ideal situation. But what the Lakers are doing right now is just, it's bad business. It's bad business as an organization. At some point, you got to use common sense when you're building a team. At what point, when you was building the squad, when you got all these old heads together, did you think that this was going to work? DeAndre Jordan was barely getting minutes for the Nets. So why would you think that he was needed? He was a needed piece when you got Dwight Howard back as well, and you didn't choose to start Dwight Howard over DeAndre Jordan for a period of time. Now, it was said that Frankie V has just been allowed to make changes, so I can't put all the blame on him if these were decisions made by Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss and everyone upstairs. It's just a bad situation, but just wanted to get that off my chest. Gotta go ahead with the conversation about the NBA All-Stars. First of all, I'd like to say I'm really not a fan of the new format. I really want to go back to the East versus West because I believe, especially this season with the teams I got in mind, it could be some pretty, pretty cool combos to see out there. I just think that we should just go away from the team captain because I mean it's kind of embarrassing too for the player that get picked last. It's kind of like damn, it's unnecessary. It's unnecessary. But I'm gonna start with my East All-Stars because I feel like those were the ones that was the least controversial, my least controversial list. So to start my starters, I got James Harden, DeMar DeRozan, Kevin Durant, Giannis, and Embiid. Obviously, if Kevin Durant cannot go with his injuries that he just recently suffered, then I would like to see LaVine put in that starting lineup along with his Bulls teammates, my Bulls. I think that would be. He's been one of the best players too. It's just that DeMar DeRozan has just been so spectacular, especially with the game winners that he hit, his clutchness, everything that he do. So, for the reserves, I got LaVine, Garland, LaMelo Ball, Trae Young, Jason Tatum, Miles Bridges, and Jared Allen. So let me explain. Zach LaVine, Trae Young, Jason Tatum are all givens. But the reason I chose players like Garland, Ball, Bridges, and Allen over, players like maybe a Jaylen Brown, maybe a Bradley Beal is because one thing that's important for All-Star games is that you have an exciting point guard that can just do a flurry, orchestrate the show, put, spectacular passes, all this and that and forth. Who not better than to have Garland and Ball, who's just been hooping this season, both of them having, career years, both teams playing really good right now. As opposed to, Bradley Beal's putting up numbers, but he's putting up numbers on a team that's like way down compared to how Darius Garland and LaMelo Ball. And not to mention the other two players, Miles Bridges, who's having a career year, he's leading the team for the Hornets. I think he's played like all games. And Jared Allen as well, who having another career, he's averaging a double-double, very efficient too. And like just look at those just both teams' success. I think when it comes down to the reserves, there's gotta be more coaching. It's not gonna be a lot of fan involvement. So the coaches got a really good look at the players that's really making an impact for their teams right now. And I think who not better than, those four. Other than the given. Other than a given. And obviously it might be some injuries here, down the road and these teams might get altered, but other players might get added, like maybe Bradley Beal, Jaylen Brown. For my West starters, I got Steph Curry, Devin Booker, LeBron James, Karl-Anthony Towns, and Nikola Jokic. This is the more controversial list because I put out a poll on Twitter and I asked people, who would you rather have to pair in the obvious backcourt that's going to be with Steph Curry, either Ja Morant or Devin Booker? And I mean, to no surprise to me, a lot of people voted for Ja Morant. And that's because Ja Morant is having a spectacular season. The Memphis just went on a, like an 11 game win streak and they're playing really good. They're playing really good basketball. And we don't want to say, we don't want to jinx it, but Morant is looking like old D Rose, So he's a very exciting player, but I just think that people are like forgetting that Devin Booker is also hooping. He just dropped like 48 the other night. Not like he dropped the 48, almost 50 the other night. He had 28 against the Mavs. Like this dude. Come back, come back win. This dude is a hooper. And right now, his team is the number one team in the whole NBA, not just in the Western Conference, in the whole NBA. And I think it would be a travesty. It would be a crime if the Suns don't have at least one player in the starting lineup in the All-Star game. When they've, you know, when you see players like him and Chris Paul that have been hooping, it'll be a travesty. Obviously, LeBron's a given. Cat is a more, a lot of people wouldn't really expect for me to pick him. But Carl Anthony Towns, he's been hooping this season. Also, the Timberwolves have been playing good basketball. I mean, they teetering with the 7th, 8th seed, 6th seed, you know, like they always do up until, you know, the epic collapse. But right now, he's been hooping. He's been hooping. I think it should get rewarded. And it was a tough decision because Rudy Gobert is just doing Rudy Gobert things, which he's always do, you know? So, getting into the reserves, I got Ja Morant, Donovan Mitchell, Chris Paul, Luka Doncic, who would normally be a starter over both Devin Booker and Ja Morant, but it's just the fact that Luka Doncic just missed too many games. He missed too many games in the beginning, and, you know, stuff like that got to get penalized. So, yeah, Luka, Rudy Gobert, DeJounte Murray, and Andrew Wiggins. I think the last two, DeJounte Murray and Andrew Wiggins, both have been having, you know, great years for their teams, even though the Spurs don't have quite the success as some of the other players. They're teetering, you know, they're hovering in that spot. They'll definitely be, you know, hovering by that spot for a play-in. And DeJounte Murray is damn near averaging a triple-double. I mean, let's not let that go unnoticed. DeJounte Murray has been open. He's averaging like 18, 8, and 8. Almost like 9. For a Spurs team that lost DeMar DeRozan, lost Marcus Aldridge, lost, you know, numerous players over the years and don't really have much to be, you know, be excited about other than him. So let's reward that. Let's start rewarding that. Because who else are we gonna put? Damian Lillard, he's not playing, he don't have enough games, he's injured. CJ McCollum, I'm trying to think of some, you know, some of the prototypical guys, and it's not like Kawhi Leonard, both him and Paul George haven't been playing this season. So those are like two, you know, four spots when that's, you know, plugging in Andrew Wiggins right there, who's having a great year for the Golden State Warriors, who is the number two team in the Western Conference. Holding it down. Still guarding the best, one of the best players on the team. Let's give respect where respect needs to be given. And that is my all-star teams. If you like it, love it, hate it, let me know. Hopefully we can have Terry on so he can give me a little thoughts about my team and then also give his. All right. Time to close out the show. I got some mailbag questions to answer. Before I do that, I'm going to do my divisional round picks for the playoffs. You know, begrudgingly. I really don't want to do it. Dallas Cowboys aren't there, and it's making me and my homegirl sad. It's a very sad day for me still. I'm still not over it. I'm facing trauma. I'm not happy. All right, getting into these picks. Titans, Bengals. Titans, Bengals. Derrick Henry is supposed to be back. Julio Jones is supposed to be back. AJ Brown is supposed to be getting more healthier. I got them all the way. I mean, not all the way to the Super Bowl. I mean, you know, but I got them against the Bengals. Tennessee got one of the not trashier defenses in the league that Cincinnati has had the pleasure of seeing this season as far as, you know, cornerbacks and stuff like that. So I said last podcast when I did the my last NFL picks, I was going to stop hating on Joey B, but it's just it's not there yet. It's not there for me. Not that he hasn't been hooping this season. He's been doing his thing without his accuracy. He got the weapons. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase has been absolutely a dog. Like, Ja'Marr Chase has been phenomenal. T. Higgins, the tight end, boy, like these guys, Mixon, they got a hell of a team. But Tennessee is going to do what Tennessee wants to do, and that's just run the football. It don't matter who's there. They're going to do what they do, ball control, offense. And hopefully that's going to take away some time for the Cincinnati Bengals. All Tennessee cannot do, though, they cannot get behind. That is key. If they get behind, you might as well smell up because Cincinnati is a front-running team. They are a front-running team. They will lay it on you, and it will get ugly. But having Derrick Henry back, it should be a big boost for this Tennessee tight end squad. Mike Vrabel has been the best, arguably the best coach this season. He should win Coach of the Year. We'll see how that goes. So I think there was a stat out that said he's like 8-0 when he has like time to rest. It was some crazy stat, but I think Mike Vrabel, he's going to have those boys prepared. I'm looking forward to a good game, though. It should be a good game, but I'm taking the Titans. Next game. 49ers and Green Bay. Yuck. 49ers, yuck. Green Bay, yuck. Fucking hate these two teams, man. Wow, this is just a nasty game. Like, but it will, nothing will make me more happier than to see Aaron Rodgers go down. Mr. I want to complain and have it my way. And Mr. I'm too smart for all you dumbasses out there. And like, I'm low-key going through a midlife crisis, but I'm trying to cover it up. And I want to do this last dance. I say I got my foot out the door, but we all know I'm going to come back because the Green Bay is a good fucking team. And why would I leave a good team to go to some of these other bum teams out here? That's not complete like this team. And I just wanted to make a big fuss about it, to have all the people on me. And I do these weekly shows with Pat McAfee because I always got to talk about something. Mr. Aaron Rodgers. I would love nothing more to see him go down. Versus the 49ers. That will be hilarious. So I'm picking the 49ers. I think, and you know, if Nick Bosa and Fred Warner both play, it's going to impact the game because as you can see for what the 49ers did to my Cowboys, 49ers defense, that front up there, they real right. And they can get after you. And we don't know how Aaron Rodgers' toe is doing. I have the impression I've seen in games, you get some pressure on him. I mean, he's going to make those passes regardless, but you get them pressures on him, that toe start wearing on him throughout the game, and you keep getting them hits in, which the 49ers team can do. It can possibly impact the game. But Devontae Adams is averaging like 120 yards in like the last past four games against the 49ers, so we'll see. We'll see how that one goes, but I'm picking the 49ers. Tampa Bay and the Rams. I'm still not sold on Matthew Stafford, even though he got his first playoff win. Finally, after like 100 years in the league. But it's just something about Tom Brady. It's something about that squad. Tristan Wirfs being injured, you know, possibly not playing is a big question mark. But, and the Rams defense has been coming along. But, Matthew Stafford's, he's going to put one in there. It don't matter who's back there for the Tampa. Somebody's going to get that thing. Because what Matthew Stafford does, he throws picks. And just because he didn't throw one against the Cardinals, who played disastrously as a whole, who's getting smoked, not a real team yet. It's going to be different. It's going to be a little bit different. Just because he didn't throw one against them Cardinals. These ain't the Cardinals. This is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm picking Tampa Bay. Finally, the game of the night. The game of the weekend. Possibly the game of the year. Buffalo, KC, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Stephon Diggs, Tyreek Hill. The Bills' number one defense is going to get crazy. It's going to get crazy. Oh, this should be a good game. Buffalo is ticking on all cylinders. Clicking, my bad. Clicking on all cylinders. But Kansas City has also been turning it up too. I mean, I know the defense is kind of up and down, but they got some hitters. They got some hitters. They'll get after you if it's going to be that type of game, especially if you're not going to run the ball a lot. Because what we expect to be, we expect for it to be a very strong, heavy passing game. I mean, weather could impact that, but I'm thinking it's going to be a throw it out game. You know, slinging a rock. So in that type of game, where you guys like Chris Jones, Frank Clark, Ingram, Hitchens, you know, just letting the boys tee off on you, it might get nasty. It can get nasty. 49ers, I mean, not 49ers, Kansas City defense can get nasty. And Tyrann Mathieu, he's a vet, Super Bowl champ. He know what he's doing about there. It's going to come down to some plays, like two or three plays. And I'm going to tell you, I gotta ride with Mahomes, my homeboy. He's shown me he can do it. Their offense has been clicking lately. That's what they said. And it's looking like it. So I'm picking them. It's going to be a hell of a game, though. I can't wait. That's going to be the game of the day. 6:30. I'm glad they're not giving this to us late. You know, let me get a good night's sleep in. Let me get a good night's sleep because I got a busy work Monday. This is a busy work Monday doing what I do. All right, those are my picks. We're going to finish the show with these mailbag questions, and then I'm out of here. I really liked this question. I thought it was a cool question. I appreciate it. And like I said, if you want to shoot me one, I can do these anonymous. I can say your name, or if you want me to say your name, and you have a pressing topic that you want to come, or even if you want to come on the show, just shoot me a DM, whatever. But this question is said, what was your favorite accomplishment of 2021? And that would be for me, obviously getting my job with the Sports Business Journal. It's been a fun job. It's been really exciting, something different than what I'm normally doing with my normal sports writing, but it's definitely a learning experience, and it's been a pleasure working with my team. I really love my team. It's been awesome. I'm blessed to have this job, and I look to do big things with it in 2022. So thank you for that question. Next one, who is my Super Bowl pick? NFL, it's just been an up and down season. You don't know how COVID is going to impact everything. I mean, a player can possibly get COVID in the Super Bowl. Like, I mean, I'm pretty sure the NFL wouldn't allow that. They probably wouldn't test it, Some little under the table stuff. But it's hard to say, but I'm going to have to take it was the Cowboys. I'm gonna be honest with you guys. It was the Cowboys. The Cowboys was my Super Bowl pick, and I'm heavily disappointed. And I have not thought about the possibility of anyone else winning the championship. And that's just like a Cowboys fan. Definitely just like a Cowboys fan. But I'm gonna have to pick Kansas City. Actually, I'll say the winner out of Kansas City and Buffalo will be the Super Bowl champs. How about that? I like that. Because both of those two teams, they got two of the most dynamic quarterbacks right now. And they got two of the, better teams. And I just don't see how teams from the NFC, because the Cowboys are not playing anymore, obviously, can combat that. Green Bay, has been looking great. We got to see how Aaron Rodgers is going to come back. And we got to see how they're going to look against the 49ers. And we know the limitations of the 49ers is their quarterback, because he almost sold the game for the Cowboys. Matthew Stafford is still a question mark. And Tampa Bay is, they lost AB, who was pivotal in the Super Bowl. They lost Chris Godwin, God hands, God send. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for them. Because they don't have the weapons. Even though Mike Evans can turn it up now. Don't get fooled. Mike Evans can turn it up. But I think just losing those two pieces, those wide receivers, is going to be too much. All right, so that was the show today. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure you guys follow us at Players Circle. That's Players with a Z. Twitter and Instagram. Y'all have a good weekend.